Trump is an example of cowboy diplomacy. And, you know, cowboy diplomacy is something that is deeply embedded in the modern world system. Okay, it is not something out of the ordinary. But what makes Trump very different is that he's very brazen about it. You know, he thinks he can simply steamroll Egypt and Jordan into accepting Palestinian refugees. He thinks that Palestinians will simply lie down and accept ethnic cleansing. You know, the Zionists failed to do it with American help. Now he thinks he can do it diplomatically. So, you know, we must understand that this is not out of the ordinary. This is Trump being true to himself. This is Trump exposing the underbelly of empire, the dark side of empire, and he's doing the bidding for Zionists. I mean, he's always been firm in their corner. Let's not mistaken, he's put for a ceasefire or to the end of the current war as support for the Palestinians, as that he cares for the Palestinians. He has a way, he wants to do it a different way. He feels he can strong arm Jordan and Egypt into accepting Palestinians and to commit the ethnic cleansing that the Zionists so justified. He's probably burning inside to see scenes today where Palestinians are going to North Gaza. I mean, there's nothing left of substance in North Gaza, but Palestinians are going back.
Professor, I mean, we've seen images and videos of Palestinians returning to the north of Gaza and other parts. Literally, we've said it a couple of times on PM Drive, it's literally like scenes of an apocalypse. And we've seen all of this play out in real time before our eyes. But the resilience and the continued resistance of Palestinians, I want to be controversial quickly and insert this here, Professor. So Donald Trump heads to Jordan to the king and says, take the Palestinians in as refugees. Heads to Assisi in Egypt and says, take the Palestinians in as refugees. I dare say they would agree, but the Palestinians themselves would refuse because they continue to resist.
I think, you know, the Egyptian embassy this morning or last night formally in Washington sent out a notice, a press release to say that they will play no part in a second Nakba. The Jordanians, King Abdullah himself was explicit in rejecting this. They know that within Jordanian society that there's an extremely strong Palestinian perception and longing for Palestine, as it should be in the global ummah.
Yes.
So these are good signs for now. But given the precarious state of the Jordanian economy, of the Egyptian economy, which largely relies on American assistance, military help, and so on, we cannot take this for granted. Assisi has been thrown a carrot before, you know, the carrot being the eradication of his IMF and World Bank debt. He's rejected it because of the strong opposition within Egyptian society to this. But we can never rule that out. And we need to keep up the pressure. You know, Egyptians and Jordanians themselves need to keep up their pressure on their respective governments to ensure that, you know, that they do not become complicit in a second Nakba, which is what... David Friedman, Trump's former ambassador to Washington ambassador to Israel during his first term, said it today. He said, you know, why is King Abdullah being so stubborn? I mean, there's already more Palestinians in Jordan than Jordanians themselves. He claims that Jordanians are, you know, part of what was, you know, for him, Palestine is Jordan. To some extent, he may be right, but it's not to the extent or to the way he means. So we've seen it. We've seen all of this. But fortunately for now, these leaders, autocrats as they are, dictators as they are remaining firm to ensure that the second Nakba does not happen. You know, we've seen those apocalyptic scenes from North Gaza. And we do not wish to romanticize the return of people to North Gaza, but that is a revolutionary act. You know, Palestinians are made of special stuff. You and I would have, you know, ran away voluntarily to Egypt and Jordan. But they are going back to nothing, to an apocalyptic, part of Gaza. And, if Trump thinks that cowboy diplomacy, strong-arming, King Hussein or General al-Sisi is going to make a difference, he's got something coming. Because Palestinians themselves voluntarily won't go. Even if you push them, they will not go. So on the other side of the coin, even if King Abdullah and General al-Sisi agree, Palestinians will not leave.
Mm.
And those are good signs. But as I said, we do not wish to romanticize Palestinian suffering, but to celebrate their resilience. Mm.
Now, Professor, then maybe from that perspective, it would then appear as if we may be heading towards a collision course here or some sort of cul-de-sac, because the Palestinians would certainly refuse, and rightly so, because the occupied territories is and has always been their sovereign land. And let's say hypothetically, Sisi and the King of Jordan, they agree. Something would then have to give. Something would then have to happen. It does appear as if we could be heading for a collision course here.
I think, you know, what would happen to force Palestinians into, you know, the Sinai and to Jordan and so on would put shame to, you know, the current genocide. If we think the current genocide is bad, you know, the Americans, Trump will support them. He's already lifted the pause on 2,000-pound bombs. I mean, I'm weak. And, you know, I wouldn't be able to withstand that. And if you're going to keep dropping 2,000-pound bombs, American-sponsored bombs, maybe they would be forced to go. And, and after they've done with Gaza, they move to the West Bank. And this is part of the paradigm of war that is embedded in the logic of the modern colonial system, the modern world system, which is colonial in nature. So this is the paradigm of war is embedded. It's part of the very fabric, part of the very logic of empire.
Mm.
And it all depends on how Palestinians are able to resist. We've seen, as you mentioned earlier, that now the focus is gone onto Jenin in the West Bank, and the West Bank as a whole, because, you know, Abu Ubaidah has called for, you know, Palestinians in Jenin to rise up to assist the Mujahideen there. So the Israelis know this, and they, with the help of their, native assistance in the form of the Bantustan Authority, as I like to call them, they are trying to, you know, kill the resistance in Jenin. But the resistance is spreading. And what this does to ensure that, you know, that the Palestinian struggle is not compartmentalized. Okay, we don't have only have Gaza separate to the West Bank, separate to Jerusalem and the rest of historic Palestine. What this does is to, in the national psyche, in the national psyche of people, that Palestine is one. We cannot compartmentalize it. So within, the current catastrophe, there is this national awakening, this national consciousness that we cannot separate Gaza from the West Bank or Gaza and the West Bank from Jerusalem, Gaza and the West Bank from the rest of historic Palestine. There is this awakening, and this is a good sign. But as I said, the genocide is apocalyptic. It is something that we cannot fathom. But we rely on the resilience because, you know, we saw that march towards North Gaza today. And we hope that march continues in the years to come towards, you know, the liberation of Al-Quds, the liberation of all of historic Palestine.
Inshallah, indeed. Professor, just in conclusion, those of us who are gullible and naive to think that under the Trump administration, things would be way different to the administration of Genocide Joe, as he was classified as not a laughing matter at all, because it was very serious. They continue to support the genocide, but it just appears to be unended now. It's going to continue because the utterances and comments coming from Trump moving the Palestinians to Egypt and Jordan. And then you're looking at probably the greatest gaslight of them all, Netanyahu speaking to media and directly addressing the U.S. citizens and the U.S. administration, thanking Trump for giving them the tools and the weapons so that they may continue to get the job done and create so-called peace and prosperity in the Middle East.
You know, the thing about Trump and he's not separate from empire. He's part and parcel of American empire. A different face, a different approach, but he's part and parcel. They share the same end goals. You know, revolutionary African philosopher Frantz Fanon referred to, colonialism as repetition without change. Basically, what is being repeated is the logic of domination, the paradigm of war, and these will continue until overthrown. So we must understand that Trump and, you know, his minions, Elon Musk and so on, are just a different form of empire. But they're empire. They share the same end goals of empire. So Trump is not going to... In fact, what we'll see is just more brazen. The filter has been removed. You know, with Democrats, there's a filter of liberalism, so-called liberalism. There is that filter. But with Trump, there is no filter. So we'll see the logic of domination, the paradigm of war, embedded within Zionist settler colonialism, continuing.
Very true.
However, they have that formidable enemy of the Palestinian resistance.
Mm. Professor Ahmed Jazbai, Executive Member, Media Review Network. As always, Jazakallah. Thanks, Prof.